always a moving occasion when you find people stepping in to the purpose for which they were born. So please keep Alex and Hannah in your prayers. Perhaps I'm going to ask everyone to stay there, just so that you know from this point onward, you've got people who are backing you and who got your back. If anyone has a scripture they'd like to share, if anyone sensed that God placed something in them while they were praying, we're just going to take an opportunity now before we sing a song and then move into the induction, which is quite short. But I just want to honour this moment because it only happens once, and just want to make sure we do it. We don't rush it. So if there's anybody that has a scripture, if you haven't, don't worry. But if you have, we want to give you an opportunity to just tell us what it is now. Please don't get into a preach. I used to play prop forward. I'll rugby tackle you right down to the ground. And I've got my friend Craig over there who can be the other prop. So just a brief word or a brief scripture. And then, Derek, if you don't mind, just write that down and we'll hand that to them. So is there anybody that wants to share a quick thought from scripture or a quick word of encouragement?
I don't know the scripture, but okay. I believe God is saying, I set before you an open door.
Okay. Thank you.
Just Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with
all your heart. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That one, yeah? Okay. I'm just making sure. Anybody else? A thought, an impression? Please.
It confirms the word just now. Do not rely on your own strength, but on him alone.
Okay.
Luke 10. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields.
Thank you. Anybody else? We're not begging, we're just giving an opportunity. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to invite you, please, just to take your seat. Thank you. Thank you for joining us in prayer. We're going to sing another song, and after we sing that song, we're going to do what is it we call the induction. The ordination happens once, which means that you are called into ministry and you're set apart for that task. But then, as you move from church to church through the course of your ministry, there's an official process of inducting you into that church. It's like being at work and meeting everybody for the first time and meeting different departments. We do it through a series of promises that are made by the church and by the minister. And after this song, you'll hear two people come to tell the story. I won't come up again. I will ask Derek Atkins, please, if you would come and speak. And then after that, the Reverend Dr. Terry Griffiths. And then I will lead in the official act of induction. Thank you.
Oh, pray. Good afternoon, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Derek Atkins. I'm the church secretary here, one of the leadership team of Sidcup Baptist Church. And I'd like to add my welcome to the welcomes that have already been given. As a representative of this church, we're so pleased to see so many friends from other churches, from Alex and Hannah's family, and from their friendship and past churches and so on. We're so pleased you're with us today. This church, Sidcup Baptist Church, has been in existence for more than 120 years. It's been on various sites in Sidcup and been here on this site worshipping and serving the community around here for the last 90. Our previous minister, Reverend David Rouse, retired and moved from the area back in last September. So it's just about a year that we've been without a pastor. As has been referred to, there's a kind of process within the Baptist Union of how you go about finding a new minister. It is a bit like matchmaking, I certainly agree with that. And the church has to produce a profile to say what kind of a church it is, and we receive CVs of people who want to change churches and might be appropriate, and then we try and match those and find God's will in that process. So it was around through some work in the summertime last year and on into the autumn that we put together a document which described what this church is like. We tried to be honest. We tried to describe our weak points as well as our strengths. And that was deliberate, not only to be honest, but also so that any potential pastor knew, oh, well, maybe, yes, I could help them with that. And so there was two purposes behind that, but we felt it was very important to be honest about what we were like as a church. We also asked Reverend Terry Griffith, who's from Trinity Baptist Church in Bexley Heath, to come as what's called a moderator, somebody who's an independent person to advise us through that process and to help to guide us. And Terry, I'm really, on behalf of the whole church, we're very grateful for the way you helped us through that process. It was invaluable, thank you. So within that process, the leadership team here saw various CVs, quite a lot of CVs, and out of that, I think we saw a sort of first interview with three people before we met Alex and Hannah. None of those came to anything for various reasons. We took that as God's will and leading. But within that process, early on, I think we came to the conclusion that certainly the leadership team and the church with us came to the conclusion that really we were looking for someone in their 30s or 40s. We've been a mature church. We've been a church which over the last 20 or 30 years has had a strong core of people who can lead and take on the roles. And that's all been very good. But you have to accept that those people who were originally in their 20s and 30s are now in their 50s and 60s and running out of energy. And, well... I'm speaking personally there. Let me put that caveat in. I don't speak for any of my colleagues. But it was a fact that, yes, we felt we needed someone younger who could, as has been mentioned before, bring fresh ideas, could get us to think about doing things perhaps a different way, that had the energy levels to take our church forward and good ideas, combined with being a pastor. We needed something of a fresh start. So we first met Alex and Hannah in early May. And just from that first meeting, as Alex has said himself, we felt there was a special bond there, that we were getting, we were seeing things in the same kind of way, that what was important to Alex and Hannah was important to us as a church. And so we were very happy to proceed further. And as that process moved on, we found out more about both of them. Alex came to preach. He had a chance, obviously, through that to meet the congregation, who also grilled him and asked him lots of questions. And it gave us a chance to discover what was important, what were the priorities for him. And we discovered that that was teaching from God's word, pastoral care of the people in the church, but also discipling them, helping them to move on in their Christian life, and draw in people from outside. And they were the things that we were looking for as a church. The process culminated in a vote in our church. We have formal membership, and we take a vote as to whether someone is called. And just short of 9 out of 10 members voted for Alex and Hannah to come. And they moved into the manse, which is across the road. Well, we don't expect him to lock and unlock the church the whole time, don't worry. He moved in, or they moved in August. And Alex has already been working behind the scenes, doing some terrific work, getting to know people, getting to know what goes on, visiting the house band who can't get out to meet him, already that kind of thing, which we're so pleased about. So for us at Seacup Baptist Church, this really is a culmination, a wonderful culmination. And we're looking to God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit to bless Alex in his ministry here in the months and years ahead. We certainly have every confidence that together we'll work well and fulfill God's plan for this church in this community. Thank you very much.
My role as moderator was always going to be a light touch role. I hope not lightweight, but light touch. As the members of this church will know, it was somewhat curtailed by my diagnosis of prostate cancer a few months back. I would just want to point out that the damp patch in my trousers was caused by Craig knocking over a glass of water. So I don't want you to feel particularly sorry for me. But if you could kick Craig in the shins afterwards, I'd be grateful. Thank you for your concern and prayers for me. I'm glad to say that surgery has been very successful. Prognosis is excellent, so we can praise God for that. Thank you. I knew that a light touch moderatorship would work because the leadership team you have here is very good. Each one fulfills, takes their responsibilities as trustees in managing the affairs of the church very, very well, very seriously. But more than that, they're a spiritually minded bunch who have a concern for the glory of God, for the gospel, and for the well-being of the church and wider community. And so I would commend the leaders of this church to you, Alex. Work well with them. They will, I'm sure, support you and will be there to pick up any bricks that you drop, which is always a very useful role of the deacons. Doesn't always happen, but I believe this lot will do that for you. So make the most of the opportunity, I'm sure from what I do know of you and have heard about you that both you and Hannah will bring a great contribution to the life of this church, and I pray that it will indeed be a fresh laying of foundations that others who eventually will follow you will be able to build upon with the blessing of God. I think that's all I have to say. God bless.
I'm going to ask Reverend Alex Newman and Hannah to please join me at the front, please. There are going to be a series of promises and confessions, and Hannah's going to answer one particular question. And then through the course of the questioning, I'll ask the members of Sidcup Baptist Church to stand, and I'll ask the wider representatives of the church and family and friends to stand. So we'll all have an opportunity to respond to some of the questions that are set forward. You heard the story of Alex's call to ministry from the former church secretary and from the college, and the journey here through the church secretary, Derek, and also through Reverend Dr. Terry Griffith, who was the moderator. Now we come to these promises of faithfulness as a service, as a minister in service here. Reverend Alex Newens, as you serve within this community, would you commit yourself to both giving its members and to receiving from them as members of the body of Christ? Will you lead and serve the fellowship in your calling as a pastor, seeking the kingdom of God and always following our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, I will.
Hannah, you have heard the commitment that Alex has made to this church. Do you promise to encourage and support him as he seeks to exercise his ministry in this church and community?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the deacons, please, and if you have elders, to just come and join us on the stage as I put some questions to you, please. All the leaders in the church, the deacons and elders. Okay, no elders, fine, just the deacons. Is that everybody? I'll read the response after I read the question. You can just read, relay that. Do you believe in your hearts, as leaders at Sidcup Baptist Church, that you have truly been called by God to work with the Reverend Alex Newens and Hannah, with this church and with this congregation? If you believe that, please say we do.
We do.
Okay, no problem. Do you welcome and accept the Reverend Alex Nguyen as your pastor? And do you promise to honor and support him with your love and prayers, working together with him in your shared calling to witness to Christ in this place?
As disciples of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, we will.
Can I invite the members of Sidcup Baptist Church to please stand, if you're able to? If you're not quite able to, then feel free to stay seated. My sisters and brothers, as members of this church, I invite you now to renew your commitment to Christ and his church and to affirm again the vows of your baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Believing that you are called by God to work with this minister, do you now acknowledge and receive the Reverend Alex Nguyen and Hannah as your minister? Will you honor and support him, praying and working together in unity of the Spirit as the people of God?
Amen.
As disciples, okay.
Okay.
I should say, as disciples of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, we will. Do you affirm that? Okay. Brilliant memories as well. Well done. Can I ask friends and representatives of the wider church to please stand as well? That could include family members and covers everyone, really. As friends of this church and representatives of the wider Church of Jesus Christ, do you support this new beginning in the life of Sidcup Baptist Church, the Reverend Alex Nguyen and Hannah as its minister?
We do.
Will you offer your love, all your love, prayer and encouragement to this fellowship in the days ahead?
As disciples of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, we will.
We're going to have a prayer for Alex and for Hannah as they journey on. It's going to be a short prayer, but let me say a few words at this moment. They're not words that I say specifically or particularly to Sidcup Baptist Church, but they're part of my induction words, and they're not in the text, so I always have to just state why I'm saying them. Please look after Alex. He is a slave to Christ, but a servant to the church. That means he's to be treated with dignity and with respect. And please respect his wife. It's not two for the price of one. She has her own job that brings her own stresses, her own concerns, and her own pressures. And she should not be given additional unnecessary pressure because she's the wife of the minister. Please have respect for their day off and their time together. I have a simple principle. If you send a message to me via my wife, you never get an answer. It doesn't take long for people to realize that if they want to get something done, the best bet is to come directly to me. And what I'm saying to you, friends and family and church members, please respect the fact that they are a family. They need time for one another. What might be important to you may not be urgent to them. And that's understandable and that's acceptable. And please, because Alex has come into ministry, and please don't try and intimidate and bully. I'm not saying, look, I don't know you guys here, so I'm not trying to say that's how you are. I'm saying I've been around in churches for long enough. Don't speak to Alex rudely in front of his wife and expect her to love the church. And don't disrespect his wife and expect Alice to serve the people. It doesn't make sense. This is someone's child here. And this is somebody's child. And they're loved. So please have the courtesy and the respect and the honor that their families have for them when you're dealing with them. Because ministers move on and they tell you that God has called them and they tell us that they're a bunch of nutters in the church and we can't work with them. There's two narratives. If you're nice to your minister, they hang about. If you're nice and you respect the parameters of the family, they hang about. And I'm not saying Sidcup Baptist Church is a bad church. I'm saying that we can get so used to each other and so familiar. and the pastor is like a glorified slave in the church. Please respect this man. He has an education. That doesn't mean he's better than anybody else, but it means he's worked hard to get to where he's got to. His wife is going to be a GP, or is a GP. She has worked hard. Please respect them as individuals. And I've spoken to Derek, and he has their birthdays. He's going to get their anniversary date. Please, as a church. And some churches say to me, well, if we do anything on the anniversary, the charity commission, well, I'm sure some of you have got enough money to be able to put chip in £25 each and send them out to a dinner. Yeah. It does not have to be the church. I have a friend, when he was 50, and I'm not saying that's what you should do, when he was 50, the whole church took over his mortgage, his shopping, everything for a year.
Amen.
Now, that's getting a bit far. But they honoured his ministry. And I want to encourage you, please, friends and family, mum, dad, aunties, uncles, if they're not being respected, speak to them from your hearts. Tell them to demand the respect that is due to them as human beings, because they're made in God's image and likeness. So please, church, I heard you're a good church. I'm not slating you. I'm just saying, please, treat them nicely.
Amen.
Ministry is tyrannical enough without you having to pray an extra 15 minutes just to face your deacons or a member of the church that doesn't like something that is irrelevant. Please. I know you won't invite me back, but that's fine. There's 300 churches. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray and just ask that God, by his Spirit, would be upon Alex and would be upon Hannah, and that by the Holy Spirit's power, they would just know grace and mercy. So let's, again, deacons, please, let's come and touch them, all of us. Let them know they're felt, and just let them feel our energy and our love and our goodwill for them. Following the practice of the early church, we formally set Alex apart with the laying on of hands. As representatives of this and the wider church, we share with those representing this local congregation, as Alex is called to Christian ministry in the whole body of Christ. Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now. We ask that bonding that Derek Atkins talked about earlier would be consolidated and solidified at this time. Father, we ask that in the spirit of the covenant that has just been made between church and minister and Hannah, we pray, Father, not just for the minister, but for the minister and the church together, that through the symbolism of the laying on of hands, there would be an impartation and there would be a grace. There would be a synergy, a togetherness, a cooperation, a goodwill towards one another. Father, thank you that you are head of the church. And in a very peculiar way, Alex represents that headship alongside the deacons too. Lord, we pray you give them the gift of communication, that they would understand one another, that they would be relational as well as functional, that they just won't be good at what they do, but they'll be good at who they are. That they would have such confidence in one another, that they'll be able to point out mistakes in a non-aggressive, non-accusatory manner that just allows an open relationship to develop and mature. And Lord, may you teach them how to speak to one another in ways that helps them to grow and not ways that makes them feel undermined, whether it's Alex to the deacons or the deacons to Alex. Lord, we're praying for everyone, the church members as well, that Father, you would give them the grace to really be sensitive to who each person is and to speak to them in the language that they best understand, in the mode they best understand. And Father, we pray that your word will be at the center of all they do. that it won't be Baptist tradition alone, but it will be the authority of Scripture. And Father, they would be guided by you in every way. And so, Father, I bless you and bless them. Thank you for these leaders who have covenanted to serve with Alex and with Hannah this afternoon, who have said that they believe that they're called to work together. We pray for the grace. And we pray that when the enemy comes in, because he does, we pray that you would give them the strength to be able to stand strong and to resist him. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to have to shake your hand one more time, my brother. In the name of Jesus Christ and his church here at Sidcup Baptist Church, and in the name of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, I now declare you, the Reverend Alex Nguyen, to have been inducted to the pastorate of this church and congregation, to work with them and they with you in the ministry to which God has called you and them. As a token of this, I now offer you a right hand of fellowship. The covenant God bind you in grace and love. The faithful God keep you through all things. And the God of hope and peace sustain you in the ways of Jesus Christ, this day and every day. Amen. Amen. We're nearly there. We're going to have a sermon now by Stuart, who is Reverend Nguyen's supervisor. So please welcome Stuart. Bless you, sir.
I just encourage you with the realization that when Alex sent me through my version of the order of service, it said brief sermon by Reverend Stuart Woodward. I'll let you decide afterwards whether it was or it wasn't. I'll explain why I'm here in a moment. Let me read, first of all, from the book of Acts, chapter 13. I decide not to try to reinvent the wheel. This passage is often spoken on occasions like this, but I haven't had the privilege of doing so very often. Acts chapter 20, verse 13. This is towards the end of Paul's journeys, missionary journeys, heading towards the end of his life. We went on ahead to a ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that we crossed over to Samos and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you, warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God unto the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Paul did go on to Jerusalem, and from there, through trial, a number of years, he appealed to Rome, he headed off to Rome, and there we lose track of him. There's all sorts of traditions as what happened to him. Most likely one is that he was eventually martyred there, but there are traditions that he went on to Spain after that. We don't know. I am here because I've been Alex's supervisor, but not for long. The supervisor was the previous minister at Hutton and Shenfield, but when he moved on, Spurgeon's had to find somebody who was willing to take on a student, and I'd done so before and wasn't too far away, and we had met before, though I didn't really remember that, to be honest.
I remembered.
You remembered, yes, that's right. And so for the last year and a half or so, we've been meeting at least once a month and praying for each other, encouraging each other, blessing each other, and it has been every bit as much an encouragement and blessing to me as it has to Alex, probably more so, actually. You've no idea how much it gladdens the heart of an aging Baptist minister. Thank you. Oh, an aging Baptist minister, to see somebody coming through with a real heart for God and a real desire to serve his people. I will be retiring in, well, end of November. So I'm just a bit demob happy. I'll try not to say anything scandalous to, you know, ruin my reputation or anything. But what fascinates me is I was ordained into Baptist ministry at the back of two different services, at the back end of 1981, and inducted into my first church in Woodley, in Reading, in January 1982. I was 29 years old when I was inducted, just a little bit younger, I believe, than Alex is now, but very similar, and you'll have to stay longer to get your old age pension. Right. In this friendship we've developed, because that's what it is, and Alex can still contact me in the future, it's just that you'll have to do it by phone or drive a long way, because if you think you need a passport to get from Essex to here, which is where I am, at Friars Baptist Church in Shrewsbury, I will be retiring to Newcastle upon Tyne. I have my season ticket for St. James's Park already, and looking forward to it. I just want to say some obvious things. Some of which have already been touched on, but linger perhaps on some that haven't. In the light of what Paul said to these Ephesian elders, I'm talking to Alex primarily, I'll get to the rest of you eventually, but you're allowed to hear it all. Keep watch over yourself. All Christians are called to authenticity, but especially leaders. Some years ago, I was at a minister's refresher thing that the Baptist Union used to fund, and every 5 years or so, and I remember they got to the stage of saying, now, all those who have been in ministry 5 years or more, those who've been in ministry 5 years or more, sit down. 10 years or more. And so it went on. Until it got to 30 years or more, and there were only a few standing. I wasn't in that category then, I am now. And only a few stood, and you could hear the gasps around the whole group of younger ministers that anybody had survived that long. I'm serious. And part of that is to do with the church. I'll get there later. But part of it is to do with the need for authenticity in leaders. You cannot lead the people of God unless, for all imperfections that we share, you're authentic in your walk with God and in your walk with his people. Yes, we're imperfect, but the uncompromised goals have to be devotion to scriptures, in a day when to be devoted to scriptures earns you a great deal of flack, not least from within the church. Authentic in prayer, even when 10,000 other things will crowd in to tell you you haven't got time to pray. Authentic in your security with God. If your security depends on the people of God praising you, you're going to have a problem. Some will. I've got one delightful lady in my present church who tells me every Sunday how wonderful it was. I'm not utterly convinced she hears much of it, but... but our feet have to be on the rock, which is Jesus, and our relationship with him has to be so central and strong to the whole of our lives, not just our ministry, that whatever else is going on around us, that does not change. That's being authentic. And if that's where we're seeking to take the people of God, we need to model it. And also, you need to be authentic in your behavior, in your speech, and in your conduct. And again, nobody's perfect, you know? We've all said things we wish we hadn't. We've all done things we wish we hadn't. But to have that as a goal and to constantly be working towards that. I know a Baptist minister who actually has rather uncomplimentary, I don't know if he still has, but had uncomplimentary nicknames for all his members that he and his wife used to talk about them when they were at home. Yeah, to me that's shameful, you know? If you want respect, you give respect. And if it's respect, then it's respect in the private conversation as much as it is in the public conversation and so on. Temptations will come. They will come. I've shared with Alex this story, but there's a young man who, well, he was young then. He's 10 years younger than me now, so I don't know what that makes him. But he went into Christian ministry and started as a youth minister. And when he sort of became part of a church training for ministry, he was assistant minister, and his senior minister said to him, "Now, I need to tell you, Ian, I need to tell you, you need to be prepared for the temptations that come. There are people who see ministers as really, you know, just because they're ministers, they're really quite attractive. And young ladies, are not always young ladies, sometimes, you know, temptations will come." So Ian turned to him and said, "How do you deal with yours?" And he said, "Oh, I haven't had any yet, I'm still waiting." But temptations come, temptations in all sorts of areas of life, in terms of how you manage your money, in terms of relationships, they come. I think it was David Wilkerson, of all people, who, Cross and Switchblade guy, for those of you who know your church stuff, who actually took money from his church, was at the airport, about to disappear to South America, when he heard God say to him, "You are a fool." And he went back and repented, gave the money back, and he was restored to ministry. You know, temptations are there. I haven't actually ministered in many churches where the money was worth that much, but there you go. Keep watch. Keep watch over yourself. Keep watch over the flock. The church. Keep watch over the flock. The Bible speaks unashamedly of Jesus' love for the church. Quite rightly, I can say this, 36 years of ministry, you can say this sort of thing. Quite rightly, I have seen all sorts of trends come and go in ministry, all sorts of ways of doing church, some of which have been a great asset and help, some of which you think, really? In essence, the root of it doesn't change. It's about the gospel and people and how you link the two together and all that sort of stuff. But in the middle of it is this thing called church. For a while, church became obscured by the term kingdom. And that's fine, the kingdom of God, fantastic. But Jesus died for the church. Jesus did everything he did for the church. The Bible says that. You can't travel through the New Testament without bumping into this reality that everything Jesus did, he did for the church. The church is even his perfect, spotless bride that he's going to come for at the end. It's about the church. Church. It's the only plan God has for bringing the people into his kingdom. The only purpose. Therefore, you need to keep watch over it. It's what you've been told to do. It's not perfect, the church. Not even Sidcup Baptist Church is perfect. I can say that because I've never met a perfect church. I've certainly never ministered in one. Jesus holds his leaders especially accountable for how they care for his church. He will excuse our mistakes, but he will never excuse our lack of love. The one who doesn't shed tears over the church probably ought not to be in pastoral leadership. Really. And I don't mean self-centered tears of how hard it is for me. I mean tears over the church and the people. Wolves will try and come and destroy. Some in sheep's clothing. Some will try to advocate a less biblical way. Some will try to drag you into legalism. That wonderful old story. It's worth repeating, though, because it always gets a laugh. Wonderful old story of a minister going back to a church where he'd pastored for many years, and when he went back a few years later, the piano had moved from that side to that side. I shouldn't have said that, should I? So that side to that side. And he said, however, did you manage to get the piano moved? And he said, 1 inch at a time. Some will try to drag you into legalism. You can't do it. You can't do it. Some will try to say that the moral values of Scripture have to be adjusted to fit our culture. And yet the role of the church is to be a prophetic voice within the culture, bringing people to the moral values of Scripture. All these are destroyers. Some are intentional and some are malicious, but many are not intentional and mean well. And you'll need the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives to know the difference and to know how to deal with them. But at all costs, you must protect the flock that you've been entrusted with, His most precious church. I love this idea of the New Testament or the other biblical days, shepherd sleeping across the door to the sheep pen. That's where they used to spend the night, so that no beast could get in over the walls. The only way in was through the door, so he would sleep across the door so nothing harmful would get to the people. That's a picture of what we're called to. Thirdly, keep watch over the weak. You need to be, and you are, a man with a compassionate heart. And whilst always helping people to become mature in Christ and to live lives of godliness, how you and how we should do that will vary from person to person. Some will need rebuking, and don't be afraid to do it. I've learned that. I couldn't do that when I was younger. Sorry, this is, I'm a hypocrite. I do understand that, but I'm trying to prevent you from making my mistakes. Some just need rebuking, and I looking back, the number of people I wish I had challenged early on in a situation rather than just let it drift and drift and drift and drift and drift. Some will need rebuking, but some are battered and bruised by life. They want the best for God, but need help in escaping from the habitual pattern so ingrained in their lives. Some are easily taken advantage of by others and need protecting. In one of my churches, we had a particular ministry to adults with learning difficulties, and it was a joy, a learning curve for me. There was one guy particularly who was called Brian. It wasn't his name. His name was David, but he wanted to be called Brian, and he was lovely. He'd been brain damaged at birth. We baptized him. It was a great, great moment. A number of the folk there were baptized, and I learned from him such a lot because he would struggle to communicate in speech, sticking over just about every word on the way. And I would finish his sentences for him. And eventually he communicated with me that actually he found that totally offensive. And I had to learn that he would finish his own sentences, thank you. And he became a good friend with the Lord now. The vulnerable need your care. They really do. A man in one of my churches came to us stinking. I guess he was about 50. His father had just died. He'd lived with his father. As a young 16-year-old, he'd been to a brethren assembly, been baptized there. He had some measure of faith, but lived a reclusive life. But now his father had gone. He didn't know what to do. The house was a hoarder's house, so you could only get through the front door sideways because of the newspapers piled floor to ceiling. He was... in a bad way. His language was choice and offended a number of people, but he had come to the church because it was the only memory he had of anywhere that could be safe other than when he was with his father. And to see him grow and develop was astonishing. Little by little, as the church loved him, as the church cared for him, he cleaned himself. He never cleaned the house up, but he cleaned himself up. He would come to church and he became one of the stewards on the door, welcoming people. Oh, it was fantastic. And then I had a phone call from the police. Do you know so-and-so? And I said, yes. Would you please come down to the police station? We need a responsible adult to be with him while he's interviewed. And what had happened was simply this. There'd been an IRA bombing in London, and he got so angry about that, he picked up a phone, phoned a local Irish pub and said, there's a bomb, bang. He'd gone out and found some building materials that belonged to an Irish building company, judging by the name on them, and set fire to them. And then he'd taken a brick and thrown it through the window of one of his neighbors who was Irish, in anger. And my job was to make sure he understood what was being said to him. And it was fascinating, but The detective constable conducting the interviews paused it and said, could I have a word, please? Took me outside and said, you need to know I'm a Christian. And this is the last case I'll be dealing with before I go off to Bible college to study theology. And I want to help this man, but you have to persuade him to cooperate. Which I did, worked very hard at it. And to cut a long story short, he went to the pub and apologized, and they accepted his apology. He paid for the damage done to the building material, and he went round to the neighbors to apologize and paid for the window, and the neighbor said, come in and have a cup of tea, and they became really good friends. Because that is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. I've lost touch with this gentleman, but he is a child of God who is working his way through the mess and muddle of difficult stuff, and people need loving in that. People need respecting in that, and the church, by the way, is not just a minister. The church needs to do that. And of course, I need to say something to the church, don't I? So you remember, yeah, keep watch over yourself, keep watch over the flock, and keep watch over the weak. You got that? Good. David's already told you, church, what you're meant to be doing. I just want to say, love him. Love this man, love this couple. Love them. Not with the wishy-washy, ridiculous love that the word means these days in our society. I don't mean feel gooey about him every morning when you wake up or anything like that. I mean the agape love of 1 Corinthians 13, the nearest English translation of which that I think is appropriate is the word commitment. Be committed to this couple, really, utterly committed through thick and thin, that together you may serve God. Work hard at making his task as easy as possible. Did you hear that? Please. Work hard. So when you've got an issue, you think, oh, I'm not sure that'll go down well. Work out how you can share what you want to share in such a way that it helps Alex move forward rather than makes him think, oh. Did you know the ministers of the gospel sometimes don't sleep well? Did you know that? And do you know why they don't sleep well? Because for everybody who leaves on a Sunday saying, thank you, that was wonderful. You don't know what to do with that either, do you? Bill Johnson's got the best one for that. Bill Johnson always says, you know, when people say that, he doesn't say, oh, it wasn't me, it was just the Lord. He says, thank you, thank you, thank you. When he gets home, he says, God, I think this is yours. All right, I think that's a fabulous way of dealing with it. But in all the stuff that people say that's positive, the one person who said, I couldn't quite understand what you meant when you said so and so and so and so, I don't agree with you on this bit, blah, 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 is the one thing that stays in your mind. It's incredible, it's true. And goes, blah, 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 blah. Now, there are ways of dealing with that. You can give me your phone if you like later. But church, just don't do it. If you've got something at all negative to say, find a positive way of wrapping it up, a way which is going to be heard, a way which is going to be a blessing. Share with these two, shoulder to the wheel, and please yourselves realize how precious the church is. It's not your church. It's not Alex's church. The church belongs to Jesus. His most precious, precious possession. There you go. I'm done. You can decide for yourself afterwards whether it's short or not, but if you think... If you think it wasn't short, please find a positive way of wrapping it up so it encourages me.
It's just me again, because we do give opportunity to for some of the local ministers or other ministers who are here today, representatives of churches, just to say a few words of greeting to Alex and maybe to this church. As has already been said, we don't want another sermon, we don't want a life story of what you've done, just to say we're pleased to be here and we're so pleased for Alex. So please bear that in mind. Maybe Andrew could come up first, because he's the district minister for this area of Baptist churches, and I'll hand over to him.
And I decided to just prove that Baptist ministers can look like real ministers occasionally. 13 months ago, South East Thames District was the most settled district in London. 7 months ago, it was the least settled. I knew that Main Road would not have a problem finding and calling a good minister. So I'm really excited for you as a church and for Alex and Hannah. Hannah, there are a load of really good wives and one husband who are not shy wallflowers in this district and will knit together, so bear that in mind. We've got 24 fellowships that, generally speaking, work really well together. So make sure you link into that. You're also really blessed because I know in this area the other denominations are a great blessing too. So make the most of it and welcome.
And there are two other Baptist churches locally which are called a little cluster. That's a good word. And Brenda and Craig are the ministers there at the moment. So please say a word.
Come on. We are, well, from Footscray Baptist Church, I am no longer the new kid on the block. Yes. And it feels really good. Welcome, Alex. I really do welcome you as part of Footscray and Albany Park and Sycup Baptist Church, the cluster of Baptist churches here. I believe God's doing something great in Sycup, and it's really exciting. And Hannah, welcome to the ministry here in Sycup. They're a great bunch of people. They really are, and they normally smile at you. And they'll give you a hug, and they'll give you a cup of tea, and this man will give you food.
Yeah, Alex, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Craig Downs. I'm the pastor at Albany Park Baptist Church. Bring you greetings on behalf of that church. And God is also doing a good thing in Bexley as well as Sidcup. Thank you. When I first came here, I'm now the old kid on the block, I guess that makes me. So we meet regularly as a cluster group. Our three churches have a very good working relationship, and you're very blessed to come here as your first soul ministry, I guess. But soul ministry is, it's the deepest of all deep places that you can be thrown into. Make no mistake. You've heard some of the wisdom from the Reverend Doctors and Bishops in the room. But don't look to us for wisdom, okay? What you're going to get in the cluster group, normally around a lunch or breakfast table, is what you have already managed to do. I heard lots of laughing and crying with. You've already met with us once on lunch, and there's going to be a lot of laughing. There's a lot of crying. There's things that you won't be able to share with anybody else because you just can't. Mm. And don't let ministry be the lonely place that it can become. Speak up. David said, you've got a lot of people behind you, got a lot of people got your back, and you're going to need it. You've got a loving church full of loving people, but there are things that you're going to face that are not best faced alone. So don't hesitate to come, and because, you know, if you think you've been a prat, we'll confirm it for you. It's good. And we're looking forward to you telling us how we go wrong too. So welcome to this place.
Just along the road, and I'm glad you didn't go there by mistake, certainly people have done that in the past, is Christ Church, our local Anglican church right next to us there, and we work very closely with them as well, and Tom Parsons is here. I don't know whether, Tom, you want to come and just say a word. Thank you. He's the minister there.
I haven't met you yet, but I hereby do so. Very exciting. We love Sidcup Baptist Church and the bit of cross-fertilisation that goes on from time to time in our ministries. And so it's wonderful to see you, so excited to see it all happen. And you really do have the most wonderful bunch of people here. And so I'm just sorry I haven't met you yet, and look forward to doing so hopefully very soon, personally, but also working together as well in a partnership and fellowship. So welcome. Thank you.
And, of course, the churches locally all belong to Churches Together in Sidcup. We try to work together. I know that Craig is Churches Together in Bexley. I discovered that when I didn't actually send him an invitation to this service. Because he was is there anybody from Churches Together in Sidcup who wants to say a word? Oh, thank you. Yes. Do you want to come up? please.
Variety of churches we all join together every couple of months we get together and we have a good fellowship, so we look forward to welcoming you, and we have do support different events during the year, so we welcome you on board. Thank you.
I know that we've got the pastor of Avery Hill Christian Fellowship here somewhere, and also someone from Holy Trinity down in Lammerby. But don't feel they have to, but if they want to come up, they can. But that's fine. Anyone else want to just say a word briefly? No, fine. Oh.
Crazy. Sorry, as I was sitting there, I just felt a word for your church. I was told you're having new heating put in. And I just felt God say, like, you've been heating the church to the maximum effect that you can. And I think you come along, Alex and Hannah, the spirit, the heat of God coming from this church is just going to really impact this community more and more. It's a bit like you're a big sinkum blocker, because I believe you're going to really lead this fellowship into new, amazing, exciting things. And I look forward to being part of that journey with you guys. I mean, I love you all loads, and we might be in Bexley, but we all love the same God, really, don't we? But, yeah, I thank you, and Alex, I look forward to meeting you.
We're going to bring the service to a close with a hymn. If you are not normally in church on a Saturday or Sunday, we don't normally take this along. And I say that to encourage you to come back again. It's a special occasion, and normally we have an induction service and then we have an ordination service, but we've done the two together, and that's why we've taken the time that we have. And so church services normally last about an hour and 15 minutes. So if you're inclined and you had a good time this afternoon, it was moving for you, please don't feel that the next service you go to will be 2 hours long. One last thing I want to say publicly before I ask them to sing and then Reverend Newens is going to pray a blessing for us is, please, excuse me, secretary and deacons, at the end of the year, please review Alex's salary or his stipend. And I say that publicly because it's part of the covenant. I think if you can afford it, increase it. Don't keep him poor and keep him humble, because another church will spot his gifts and offer a bit more. And I'll be doing that induction service. But I'm speaking genuinely. You know, Isaiah 58 talks about worshipping God while we exploit workers. I think there is something about reviewing the salary every year. And I'm sure you will do, but I'm just saying it publicly because anybody that I ordain or induct, I tend to give the church a call after 12 months to find out if it's happened. So I'm just saying it publicly so that we know what the score is. Okay, we're going to have a song, and then you're going to have Alex say the blessing. Thank you.
Would you please stand? And Alex has chosen a great song about the call of the kingdom, and it's a call. We've heard about the call on Alex's life, and this is about the call to each one of us to respond and to go in the name of our God into this world. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Yeah.
Let me say once more, thank you so much for coming along and sharing in this celebration today. It's been fantastic to have you here. And if you can stay around for refreshments following this service, they'll be served in the hall. And I want to give a big thank you to Rachel and her team for putting on those refreshments today. Thank you. But we finish with a blessing. May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that knowing his love, broad and long, deep and high beyond all knowledge, may you be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you.